Thank you for the introduction. I'm Calvin Meeks. I'm a PhD student under Dr. John Snyder. And I'm going to speak today on our prime acclimation irrigation trial. And I apologize. I just came from another talk, so if I get hoarse on y'all, I apologize ahead of time. Our irrigated area projection for Georgia is predicted by the year 2050 to remain fairly constant for all the other crops in Georgia. However, by the year 2050, we're looking at a 89% increase in irrigated cotton acreage. So we tend to do a lot of irrigation work with cotton to make sure that we're getting efficient use out of our water due to our water war situation with Alabama and Florida. And just there's no sense in a farmer applying water that he doesn't need and wasting money for something there's no benefit in. So why primed acclimation? Primed acclimation is a irrigation strategy that was developed by Diane Rowland, and it was done in peanuts. Essentially what this irrigation method does is you withhold water to the plants pre-bloom. And after the plants start blooming, you give them the water they need when they're blooming. So essentially you're saving your water early season so you have more water to apply later in the year. And this previous research has actually been shown to not only enhance water use efficiency, but in some situations, actually the peanut crop that had been withheld water early in the season actually had higher yields than the ones that got fully irrigated. So we wanted to evaluate this for use in cotton in Georgia. And we also decided to change things slightly. Their method of using the prime acclimation relied on ET, but we decided to use the Watermark soil moisture sensors and build the smart sensor arrays that Dr. Valitas designed to trigger our irrigations. So our objectives were to define the physiological effects of prime acclimation on upland cotton and then define the most efficient soil moisture triggers for this strategy in cotton in Georgia. And we hypothesized that if you withhold the irrigation early in the growing season, it would not have a detrimental effect on the end of season yield. This study was conducted in Camilla in 2014 and 2015. There were four pre-bloom irrigation triggers. 20 centibars pre-bloom, 40 centibars pre-bloom, 70 centibars pre-bloom, and 100 centibars pre-bloom. The manufacturer of Watermark suggests that for our soil types, a 40 centibar trigger is your threshold to irrigate at. So we did the 70 and the 100 to try and save water. And then once the cotton plant started blooming, we went to a 35 centibar trigger just to ensure that they were well watered while flowering. This slide illustrates the layout of our variable rate pivot so we could actually get our variable amounts of water applied to the field when something would trigger. The data we collected plant growth analysis data, which was performed by removing 1 meter of row and then separating the plants into their individual components, such as the leaves, the stem, the squares, etc. Below ground analysis was also conducted of the rooting components utilizing a rhizotron, which is a camera. It's a tube that you put a camera in and it takes fisheye photos of the roots down to 60 centimeters. And these tubes were installed in the third row of the plot area, which we found out that I need to make sure I don't drive over the top of them. Our statistical analysis was done with JMP Pro with our mean separation with Tukey's HSD. While the majority of my talk is going to focus on 2015, 2014, this was done. Since we were limited on how much the Risotron camera could be put in the ground, we really didn't get much data from that. But the illustration I'll show here is we had 12.6 inches of rainfall during the growing season, and utilizing a 100 or 70 centibar trigger, we would save about an inch and two tenths of applied water using that. However, in 2015, we had 24 inches of rainfall over the entire growing season. And using the 100 centibar trigger actually never triggered pre-bloom, so it was an inch of dry land until it bloomed, but that saved 2.1 inches over the growing season. The crop growth rate in grams per meter squared per day was not significantly different between any of the irrigation treatments or the dry land. And our average crop growth rate in grams meter squared per day average over the entire growing season, you can see that there is no significant differences between the treatments. However, there was a numerical difference between the dry land and these irrigated treatments. So that we feel that this irrigation method is something that's viable looking at the crop growth rate. And the average leaf area, there was a similar effect. There was the average leaf area centimeter squared per meter of row was constant throughout the year. There was no significant differences between any of the irrigated treatments, but the trends, that there were similar trends between all the irrigated treatments and the dry land in this situation. And once again, looking at just, there was no significant differences, but there was a numerical difference between the dry land compared to these irrigated treatments. We also collected data with a unmanned aerial vehicle and collected a green-red index, which is a ratio of green to red pixels from a conventional photograph. Dr. Glenn Ritchie had did some work in the past with a blimp, and we used the UEV, and we looked at comparing the green-red index to the amount of leaf area, and there was a very strong correlation between our index number compared to the leaf area in centimeters squared. So this would be something possible in the future to look at going forward, where somebody wouldn't have to go out in the field and chop down a meter of plants and tear them to pieces. There was also a very strong correlation between NDVI versus the leaf area. As the NDVI increased, so did the centimeter squared of leaf area. In 2014, the lint yield, there was no significant differences between irrigated treatments and camilla. However, there was a significant difference between the irrigated treatments and the dry land just to the amount of rainfall that we had that year. 2015, there is no significant differences between the dry land or the irrigated. However, honestly, the best thing that I would look at this is there's no differences between the irrigated treatments. In this situation, we defoliated the cotton, and we already had a high amount of rainfall. When we defoliated, we were in a dry period. It was dry for 7 days. And then after that 7 days, it rained and rained and rained. So it sat in the field for 6 weeks, defoliated, and a lot of cotton was knocked off and was knocked onto the ground. However, interestingly, whenever you combine the data over both years, the treatment one and treatment four were the only ones that were significantly different from the dry land. And in this situation, the treatment four is the most drought, or not necessarily drought stress, but the one with the most water withheld to it, and it was not significantly different from the treatment that had water applied to it essentially over irrigated. So I feel that this is a very strong indication that this is something we need to look at, because there's no reason for a farmer to be applying water pre-bloom too heavily to cause him to lose more profit with cotton prices the way that they are. In conclusion, the physiological measurements above ground suggested no significant differences between the irrigated treatments. The yield data showed a similar trend. There was no significant differences between the irrigated treatments. Mm-hmm. And the root measurements were inconclusive and highly variable. That may just be due to my relative inexperience with the rizotron. And I think that's some further research that needs to be done. This is just an example of total rooting surface area. And this coincides with the time of peak bloom. And there was no significant differences, but numerically, it seems really strange that one treatment would be essentially triple of everything else, and nothing shows up in the yield. So I think that's something we need to look at in the future to possibly examine some below-ground interactions. And I'd like to thank the Georgia Cotton Commission for all their support, and the UGA Cotton Team for all the help that was provided for this study. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks. I'll be glad to take any questions anyone might have.
Okay, could you go back to that last bar graph you showed? And I think you alluded to, it's a wet year, we saw no yield differences in this year, but could you speak to maybe what you're seeing here in a year maybe more like 2014 data that you showed there, where we did see significant differences in yield? Do you think when we have less rainfall, perhaps you would have seen
there? I would think so. There has been research done, I'm not sure, in cotton and other crops, there's a definite increase in rooting depth in a drier year. That essentially, there was a saying that the extension specialist in Georgia used to say that cotton has to get its legs out early. And that if you watered it early, you would limit the amount of root growth. So I think in a drier year, you would see the differences. I mean, in 2013, when we had an absolute ton of rainfall, probably 30 inches of rainfall during the growing season, I remember seeing cotton that was wilting and because it hadn't rained in 2 days because the roots were just so shallow.
Yeah, I have sort of a related question for you. How comfortable are you with those kilopascal thresholds that you're being used in terms of, let's say you use a fire max measure using 100 and then 35? How comfortable are you with those?
I would say that very comfortable due to the work that I did on my master's, which was drip irrigation, and we used a 70 centibar trigger on it for our deficit irrigation, and we triggered 40 centibars on it for our full irrigation. And the only reason we went with 35 this time is there was some work out of Nebraska that showed that they were thinking that instead of using 40 centibars, it should be 33 for our soil type. So all I did was just split the difference and did 35 just to cover the bases. But I would say that the 70 and the 35 would be a very, very strong way to go with the centibar triggers.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about the prime acclimation strategy. Wouldn't it be highly contingent on the soil types? Because you're assuming that you can't bank the water early on.
Right. I mean, on our soil type, you're essentially 3 days away from a drought. So that's the thing. You can't really bank rainfall early with our soil types.
Okay. Thank you, Calvin.
Thank you.